The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined in the studio by Shaq Hislop. We also welcome to the programme, Craig Burley is here, as is Jurgen Klinsmann and Frank Leboeuf. Only one place to start today, and that is in Germany. What a match between Bayern Munich and PSG. PSG found themselves 2-0 up, Bayern getting it back to 2-2, but Mbappe gives PSG the advantage going into the second leg in Paris next week. So much to talk about regarding this game. But Jurgen, let's just start with you. Overall, just a brilliant match to watch.
Yeah, an absolute brilliant match to watch. I think we all enjoyed it. Obviously, from a German perspective, you would have rather Bayern Munich, you know, scoring 5, 6, 7 goals. You know, they had enough chances to win this game. But you got to give a compliment to Paris Saint-Germain. They started well. They were highly aggressive. Mbappé brought them up, you know, and then the second goal with Marquinhos. But then it's typical Bayern Munich. They're going to come back. And they came back. I mean, Hansi Flick had to make some adjustments already in the first half with Goretzka. It seems like he was injured a little bit. And then he subbed out Süle, brought in Boateng. But especially Alphonso Davies coming in on the left flank, he made a little bit of a difference. And they pushed and they created chances after chances. I think Thomas Müller played an outstanding game. They equalized it, and then Mbappé made the third goal. I think, you know, overall, a tie maybe would have been a more honest result, but it's going to be wide open for the second leg. I mean, even if Paris comes away with a win, it's not over yet. I think Bayern Munich will go to Paris next week and give them a real go, and anything can happen there in Paris next week.
Craig, this was almost like a basketball game, just end-to-end stuff continuously for 90 minutes.
Well, when you play against Bayern, if you're a good side and you've got that quality in the counter, then that's what's going to happen, because Bayern are rarely going to change too much for anybody. They press, they have the high line, and they attack, and they like to switch play. And they leave themselves open at times, and we saw that early on. So that's the sort of Bayern way of doing things. It was the same in the final against PSG. I think they defended a lot better in the final, but they've got to learn from the mistakes when they go to Paris. And if they do that, and they can plug a few more holes, I think they can win this tie, because really for long periods PSG were struggling to get out past the press, and the ball was just coming back and wave after wave after wave. And listen, Choupo-Moting didn't do anything wrong. He scored a great goal. He was unlucky with another couple of balls dinked into the box that were defended well by Danilo. But let's be frank about this. If the main man was playing today, he would have had himself quite a few, Mr. Lewandowski.
Yeah, it was lots of chances for Bayern. Meanwhile, for PSG, Frank, a number of people have tweeted us to remind us that you said Neymar shouldn't have started this game.
Yeah, it's a lesson for me, and I accept all the criticism, you know. You shouldn't make a statement about football because you can be smashed in the face the day after. The truth of the day is not necessarily the truth of the day after, and I can accept the criticism. Now, having said that, you know, I think I want to emphasize the fact that Navas did the game as Ghana and Mbappe. Of course, Neymar had two very good assists, but overall, during the game, those three players may be getting crazy in front of my TV because they had a fantastic game. I don't know if Paris Saint-Germain deserved that win. I don't think so. I think they've been very fortunate. 31 shots in goal for Bayern Munich. That's huge. Yeah. That's huge. And remember that the first leg against Barcelona, Paris Saint-Germain had a fantastic game because they played in counter-attack. It wasn't the same story away from home. So within a week, we're going to see what's going on. But as Jürgen said, it's a very open tie, and it's obviously not done for Paris Saint-Germain. They have to work hard the second leg if they want to make sure they're going to go through.
Frank, obviously, PSG gave up chances against Bayern, but this is still a different PSG side that we've seen struggling in the league. They just seem to be up for this game a lot more.
Well, the thing I always said about that team is that, they, of course, they have talent, but it's when they work as a team that they can have a win. They did the first leg against Barcelona because they played all together. They were strong in the middle of the park, like tonight, and they got that result. But when Neymar, when Draxler, and even Di Maria wants to work defensively and help Gay and Danilo in the middle of the park, and after Herrera, it's a plus. It's definitely a plus. The problem is those players don't do the work most of the time. But when they do, Paris Saint-Germain is one of the best teams in the world, and they showed it today. With a little bit of luck, I have to say.
And Keylor Navas standing on his head, Shaq, at times. A goalkeeper that you've continuously supported.
Yeah, I've said it time and time again. I think Keylor Navas is hugely underrated and, again, continues to prove exactly why I feel as strongly as I do about him. We've spoken about his time in Madrid and what it meant to them, and you see it again for PSG. I felt, in many respects, he was the missing piece to PSG, really challenging for European honours. And you saw that last season, you saw it again today, coming up trumps. In very difficult circumstances, I have to say, I think when you look at the first goal that PSG scored and just how I think Bayern Munich maybe struggled to cope with PSG's pace on the counter-attack, especially early on, I felt that the conditions, the snowy conditions, played a huge part in both of those. Yet Keylor Navas somehow never seemed to be put off by it, seemed comfortable throughout, and is a huge reason why PSG head back to Paris in the position that they're in.
Once Bayern got that equaliser, Jürgen, I think we all thought they were then going to kick on and go on to win this game, but then just a piece of brilliance from Kylian Mbappe to get that third goal. From a striker's perspective, just talk us through how difficult it is what he did.
Well, when he kind of ran away in this counter break, it reminded me a little bit of what he did in the World Cup in Russia. You know, it goes so fast. You know, he can pick up the pace, then he can slow it down. The defender in this moment, there was Boateng. He didn't know, should I go closer to him or should I give him 2 or 3 yards? Because I don't want him to dribble me now and pass me. And this made a difference because he was waiting for the split second until Boateng opened his legs and he shot it through his legs, you know, and this beautiful third goal. And that shows the class that Mbappe has. He's a difference maker. He can punish you any second of the game, and got to give him a compliment, a real big compliment today of how he played.
Drake, how do you go about trying defending that sort of attack?
Well,
you run in the dressing room and you start crying because there is nothing much to do. There is nothing much to do. I mean, that's completely crazy. Well, when you have somebody like him, and I play against Thierry Henry, I play against Ronaldo, I play against Jürgen Klinsmann, you know, when you face those type of players who are capable of doing everything, you just pray to make the good choice. So just, you know, launching your leg at a certain time where you think you can catch the ball. And that's the problem with Boateng today. He never had that chance to launch his leg and try to get the ball because Mbappe is so fast, is so tricky that you cannot cope with that. It's why he's maybe one of the best strikers in the world, because he's unmanageable for a defender.
Craig?
So when you're playing against somebody like Mbappe, you have to, your positional sense as a defender or a defensive midfielder has to be so much better because, you know, you have to understand when there's pressure on the ball and there's no pressure, and you can't do what Bayern did at times. It was just rush out with the head down and hope to catch people offside. It was Marquinhos to get in for the Neymar cross. I don't know if Sula was already injured, but he came out, he wasn't even looking, he was staring at the ground. So your positional sense when you play against a player like that has to completely change at times, and sometimes you're just going to drop off and try and hold a player up until you get support back in there so that he hasn't got you one-on-one or he hasn't got that space to run into. It's difficult when you're trying to play a certain way, as Bayern do, but it's something for them to think about next week or coming up before the next game, because if they don't, it could be one of the reasons that they head out. But let's be honest, and the difference between these teams is if you take Mbappe out of PSG, they're screwed, right? Simple as that. I mean, Neymar's a talent, we know that. But I think at this level, they're done. You could still talk about Bayern winning the Champions League, no doubt. Tougher, yes, but without Lewandowski, because they're a team. And they have others that can do not do a job of 40-plus goals a season, of course, but they have others that can sort of complement his absence. And they can still manage to put together, like they did today, a very good attacking performance to a point, just didn't get maybe the rub of the green or that quality in the final third that might have seen them get four or five, or as Shaq said, Keylor Navas making saves. With Mbappe, with PSG, it's different. They are so heavily reliant on that pace in behind. I think if Bayern can somehow nullify the majority of that, I see Bayern going through if they put in another performance like they did tonight, but just defend a little bit better.
Jürgen, how would you assess Neymar's performance today?
Well, I thought he had a good performance. He had a good presence. Obviously, did his assists, but he was a team player. You know, he was helping out defensively. He tried to kind of get out there in counter breaks and make something happen. I think it was a very good professional performance by Neymar, especially after what happened on the weekend in the league. You know, he seemed balanced, he seemed calm, but he had a good also physical presence. He took a couple of fouls, he just got up, he moved on right away. No, I got to give him a big compliment today.
Craig?
Yeah, actually, I thought there was, I mean, I know he was involved in a couple of the goals at least, but I actually thought in the second half in particular, he actually delayed a couple of passes, or a couple that he gave away that were simple, but he actually delayed a couple of passes when Mbappe had already made some very good runs, or at least two, one in which he was right through, he was caught offside, and I thought if he was a little sharper in that passing under no pressure and released it earlier, actually Mbappe would have been in more than he was. So yeah, it was a good performance away from home as a number 10 in behind, but actually I thought it could have been better with some of the runs that Kylian Mbappe made.
Jürgen, the Bayern team that finished the game very different to the Bayern team that started the match. You mentioned a couple of injuries, obviously a couple of tactical switches as the game went on. How much should Flick take responsibility for the fact that they were so open at the back throughout this game?
No, I think there's obviously, you know, goals happen because you make mistakes. Otherwise, there are no goals at all. So they made, obviously, the first goal very unusual for Manuel Neuer, that he lets that ball in from Mbappe. That's usually a shot he blocks easily, blindly he does that. Then, you know, it's if you go through it, I think overall it was a very good performance of Bayern Munich. He had to make the adjustments with Goretzka and then also with Süle because of injuries. And they worked out well. I mean, especially Alphonso Davies on the left side then did a great job. And Alaba, he can play everywhere. He can play in center back, you know, or he can play on the wings, or he can play also in defensive midfield. So that all played out fine for Hansi Flick. I think the only thing that didn't play out was they should have scored a couple of more goals because they had plenty of shots, plenty of opportunities. Now I think looking forward into next week's return match is going to be very interesting because Paris Saint-Germain, they need to get points in the league. They need to go with the best team possible in the next league game and get 3 points. Meanwhile, Bayern, they are 7 points clear from Leipzig. They can actually rotate a bit. They can give some players a rest and then go with all the energy that they need into that Tuesday's match. So the timing now of next week is becoming crucial as well. And that's why I'm from a Bayern Munich point of view, I'm actually fairly optimistic that they go through.
Hey, Frank, what's the feeling in Paris going to be like in the lead-up to this game? Remontada is going to be mentioned inevitably. But going to Germany, there wasn't too much expectation. That obviously now has been completely turned around.
Well, it's going to be a mix of hopes and the fact that some people are going to be worried about the second leg because of the experience of what we saw lately and some years ago. And on top of it, you know, you have to see the names because Jürgen was saying that and you were talking about the changes of names and players in position for Bayern. But look at Paris Saint-Germain defense. When Dagba is maybe the third choice on the right side of the right back, Bakker is maybe the third choice as well on the left back because Bernat and Kurzawa are not there. Marquinhos, I'm not sure he's going to be back. You have only Kimpembe, or you have the almighty Navas at the back, in the goal, hopefully. But otherwise, it's going to be tricky. I think nobody is going to say that they are sure that Paris Saint-Germain is going to go through, because first you have to respect the opponent, and it's Bayern Munich, and we all know that they can beat anybody in the world, and also we don't know how the player are going to play, are going to react to that positive result. But a positive result can mean maybe having, you know, a sloppy performance in the second leg. So we'll see. We just want to see. We are very, very interested about seeing it.
Yeah, of course, very much so. Hopefully it can be similar to what we saw take place today in Germany. We've heard both Craig and Jürgen allude to the fact that they still believe Bayern can get this done. How would you split this percentage-wise, Shane?
Oh, good. Very closer to down the middle. I still think, just kind of given PSG's own history against Barcelona, against Manchester United, I still feel it's Bayern Munich are favourites narrowly. So if you're asking me percentage, I'm going to say 55-45, no more than that.
Would Craig, there not be a defensive question mark you would put over this Bayern side once again in this second leg? Because they don't seem to be able to play any other way than this high line, which we've seen the likes of Mbappe and his pace exploit.
Absolutely, and that'll be the talk in the dressing room in Paris, you know, before this game and the build-up to the game on the day of the game from Pochettino. He'll say, look, good defensive shape, good midfield shape in front, let's be patient, let's suck them in, and then if we have to hit the ball over the top for that pace and they leave themselves open, that'll be the key to us going through. And I don't envisage PSG doing much different. I think the game will go pretty much the same way in terms of the balance of the game. I see Bayern Munich dominating it. I think they need to get more from Leroy Sané, more end product from him off that right-hand side. And, you know, Choupo-Moting was inches away from probably getting a hat-trick today if Danilo hadn't flicked a couple of lovely little dink balls in. So, you know, it was last-ditch stuff from Paris today, but they're living on the fact that Bayern Munich might leave themselves open again, and that will be their chance. So, listen, if Bayern don't learn from the mistakes, they will not go through. If they do, I still see 100%, if they're very professional, Bayern Munich beating this Paris Saint-Germain team in Paris.
Jürgen, how do you stop the noise from Pochettino's perspective? As Xhaka and Frank brought up, Manchester United, Barcelona, we've seen them give away leads in the second leg in the past. How do you stop that getting to these players going into such a big match?
Well, I think the most important part now for him is from tomorrow morning on, only to talk about the league game on the weekend.
Right.
To make sure that they get their points in the league and get the confidence and building into the second leg. So you got to move on right away and got to set priorities, which he will do, I'm sure about that. And then you can use a lot of examples from the past, you know, when things didn't turn out the way you wanted it because you had a first successful first leg and then you screwed it up in the second leg. But that's, I think also this is the beauty of the Champions League. Now we are there, you know, a round of 16, quarterfinals, semifinals. No, with two-leg games, this is what the Champions League is all about. And it's so cool because even if you look at the other results, you know, it's anything is still possible everywhere. And this is exciting.
Who's going through, Frank?
See ya.
Well, I would still think Bayern Munich like the others. Oh. Even if I, in a French point of view, wish Paris Saint-Germain will confirm the good result that they had today. But Bayern Munich is my favourite, so I won't change my mind.
Thank you very much, gentlemen. It is a rare defeat, isn't it, for Bayern Munich under Hansi Flick in the Champions League. In fact, it is first as a Bayern Munich manager.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
A comfortable day's work for Chelsea in Spain, beating Porto by 2-0. Mason Mount giving Thomas Tuchel's side the lead. Chilwell making it 2-0 going into the second leg in London next week. Well, Frank Leboeuf is still with us. Gab Marcotti and Stuart Robson join the show as well. Robbo, job done, really?
It certainly was. I don't think Chelsea played at their best. They didn't have to play at their best. I mean, the front players didn't play well at all. Timo Werner had a poor game. Havertz hardly had a touch of the ball. But they defended well, I thought, all over the pitch, particularly the two midfield players. And the back three, I thought, defended really well. And they didn't have too many problems. They had problems at set plays. Porto looked a threat at set plays. And they had one or two chances in the second half, maybe. But overall, Chelsea controlled the game without playing at their very best. They controlled the game without the ball rather than with it.
A huge result, of course, in the grand scheme of things and their ambitions to win the Champions League, Gab. Even more so after that defeat against West Brom.
Yeah, I think it was important to go out and get a reaction. Porto attacked them from the start, I thought. And, you know, remember, Chelsea's first shot on target was Mason Mount's goal set up by Jorginho, no less, after half an hour. As Robbo said, they had their chances, but Chelsea hung in there and stayed calm and let their superior quality make the difference. And I thought, you know, in the end, it wasn't just Chilwell's goal. Pulisic hit the woodwork before that, and they came through. But still issues up front, in my opinion.
Frank, I'm not one to bring up your bad takes. Obviously, you've already made a big faux pas in saying that Neymar shouldn't have started. You also said you'd have preferred Chelsea to get PSG in the Champions League draw for the quarterfinals. Would you like to retract that statement as well now?
Well, that will be possible. I want to see Tuchel going back to the Parc des Princes. You know, that would be fun to watch.
No, when the draw was made and I said you got Porto, you're like, we'd have preferred PSG because they would have been up for that game more.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry. Well, you know, I don't care as long as Chelsea wins and win the way, you know, they did today, being very strong. And I don't think it's you have to underestimate the Portuguese. They may be not the best in Europe in the last team that we have, but you still have to give not your best, but maybe a very serious performance to go through. And it's what Chelsea did today. The job is not done yet. You know, you have a return. And as Gab said, you know, we still have. I mean, Chelsea still has a problem at front. You know, Chelsea keeps on winning, except last week, but they still have a problem. There is one thing what we are sure of is that Mason Mount should play every game.
Yeah.
Because that guy makes the difference. Otherwise, the others, question marks for all of them.
So let's just remind you, remember, the draw has already been made for the semi-finals as well. So say Chelsea advance, they would then play the winners of Real Madrid or Liverpool, most likely, of course, to be Real Madrid. So if you're a Chelsea supporter, you're very happy with your position at the moment. According to the bookies, as it stands, Chelsea are second favourites to win the Champions League and replicate what they did in 2012. Robbo, do you agree with the bookies here?
To a certain degree, because I think they've got half the job done tonight. Real Madrid and Liverpool aren't at their very best. Real Madrid, I thought, were good last night against Liverpool. But I think if they go through and play Real Madrid, Chelsea have got every chance. And if they defend like they did today and they get the wing-backs high up the field and they get more from their front players. And everybody's right. Their front players aren't playing well enough at the moment. We talked about Timo Werner. We talked about Havertz. If they can get their front players playing better, they've got every chance of getting through to this Champions League final. There's no doubt about that.
Frank, I was told you had a shocked face when you saw those odds.
Yeah, really. I mean, really, we talked with Jürgen Klinsmann, you know, about the fact that Bayern Munich is not done yet. So I know the bookies are wrong. You know, you cannot say, you can have, you know, a feeling, but you cannot say that Chelsea maybe has a chance to win the Champions League. I think they're still far away from even thinking of that.
No, but here's the thing, Frank. Here's the thing. If I'm, like, from the bookies' perspective, yeah? Right. Say Bayern Munich come from behind, whatever, knock out PSG. They're still going to face Manchester City or Borussia Dortmund, probably City. So then City or Bayern Munich go through to the final. Chelsea have an easier path to the final. Then it's a one-off match. So that's why they've got them and the odds are so favourable to Chelsea.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. And of course, in one game, you can you don't know what can happen. And it happened for them when they play against Bayern Munich in 2012. Away from home, in a way, playing the final in Munich. And it can be, it's possible. But as Robbo just said, you know, they would have to be more consistent at front. They would have to be stronger in the middle of the park in order to just hope of winning something. Manchester City, Bayern Munich, PSG, I think, are still better right now than Chelsea. It will be a lot of circumstances to see Chelsea getting the trophy. I wish them, I really wish them, but it will be really something amazing.
If you're Chelsea right now, you wouldn't swap places with anyone, would you, Gab?
No, you wouldn't, because City, Bayern and PSG are pretty good, but relative to Chelsea, but that's an understatement. But we're also talking, this also suggests that, you know, whoever Chelsea played in the semifinals, assuming they get through, are basically a bunch of cream puffs, and they're not. Real Madrid may have had a horrendous start to the season, but, you know, if they win the Clásico this weekend, they'll be in a pretty good position to challenge for the Liga title. The Courtois, Modric, Kroos, the way they performed against Liverpool, again, you know, not against a bunch of no-names, that was pretty convincing. Equally, if you put them head-to-head, Chelsea against Liverpool, it doesn't strike me that Chelsea ought to be massive, overwhelming favorite. So I think there's still a ton of work to do. And, I find those odds a little bit curious that people are so emphatic in having them as second favorites.
I agree fully. And listen, I understand why PSG and Bayern Munich are below Chelsea in the betting odds, given they're in the other half of the draw. And to your question, yes, right now Chelsea is in the best position of everybody left in the competition because of their win.
That's a massive eliminator.
Exactly. But freely assuming that Real Madrid complete the job against Liverpool and Chelsea do the same against Porto, I think right now, I think Real have, I make them favourites.
Right.
Over a Chelsea team, as good a performance as it was, and Robbo touched on it, you're going into what is effectively, what is a Champions League semi-final with no strikers, or your strikers desperately out of form and lacking confidence. You don't do that you can't get away with that at Champions League semi-finals. If those two come head-to-head, as scorelines right now suggest, I think Real beat them.
I think we'll be talking about this a lot, of course, over the next few weeks. Just a reminder, as always, Extra Time is available over on our YouTube channel. Be sure to go there and check it out.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Huge win for Juventus on Wednesday, beating Napoli by 2-1. Cristiano Ronaldo would give the hosts the lead in the first half. Dybala then coming off the bench to make it 2-0. Late penalty for Napoli would make Juve sweat. But in the end, it is, of course, a huge sigh of relief for Pirlo and the defending champions, who move up to third in the table. More importantly now, 3 points separate them and Napoli in fifth. Robbo and Gab still with us. Robbo, Juve good for the win?
Just about. I thought it was a fairly even game. It was a very open game. I can't believe how much space was out on the field. The pitch looked absolutely massive, so both teams could counter-attack. There was lots of chances, lots of good play, but they just had that bit more quality in front of goal. We saw with the run from Chiesa and the cross for Ronaldo. I thought they had good movement down the right-hand side with Danilo and Cuadrado swapping positions a lot. And he went to a 4-4-2, and it worked for him in certain ways because they did get down the outside and get good crosses into the box. I thought it was a very good game.
Gab, as I say, a massive sigh of relief for Juve.
A huge win, and as Robbo said, I thought this was a tremendous game. Juventus went out there with a lot of energy, a lot of spirit, a lot of intensity, a lot of those things that had been missing until now. I thought Pirlo sent the right message, got them in the right frame of mind, which he hadn't done before. Archer, Dybala, and McKennie, all three of them back in the squad. Of course, those were the three who had violated COVID protocols. But none of them started. So again, you know, showing discipline, going to the guys who had kept to the rules, saying, I trust you guys. And they delivered. And Chiesa showed again why, you know, he is potentially one of the most exciting young talents in Serie A.
Yeah, that assist for the first goal is incredible. Gab, what did Pirlo have to say after the game?
Well, I think Pirlo made a statement about how this is the way he wants them to play. That this is where he sees where they are, and they've had rough patches, but you know this is the direction of travel, and he feels that the club is behind him. And look, and while it's the kind of thing you expect him to say, equally, I think he gets to enjoy his moment, knowing though that. That top four target is still there and he still has a lot of doubters.
Robert, what do you make of those comments?
Yeah, I mean, if he wanted to play 4-4-2 for much of the season, as he did today, why hasn't he played it before? Because he's always played almost like with a 3.5-man defence. He's played with a lopsided midfield, with McKennie quite often infield or Ramsey infield making runs into the middle. But I thought it was a good performance. I thought they played with a lot more energy, as Gab said, particularly going forward. I still didn't quite... He talked about them fighting for each other and recovery runs and the defending. I don't think the defending was good from either side. In the last 20 minutes, yes, Juventus threw their bodies on the line. De Ligt made two excellent challenges. But overall, I thought the game was far too open from both sides in terms of their defensive side, play. So I can understand Pirlo's attack, when he's talking about the attacking side. The defending wasn't quite so good.
What's wrong, Gab?
No, but ultimately, I don't think the guy's ever going to win. I mean, you know, when they play and they don't do what he wants them to do and they sit back and they make individual errors and they concede, then he's they're foolish for not being aggressive and intense enough going forward. You know, here they end up conceding a goal late. There could have been penalties on both sides. You know, again, they're not playing the Muppet Show. They're playing Napoli, who were third in the table. I don't know what you're going to do. You've got Chiellini, who's nearly 40 years old, who's out there because Demiral just came back, was just cleared from COVID, and because there was no Bonucci. You know, you are going to suffer in those circumstances. You have no McKennie. You have no Archer in your starting lineup. You know, all these things, I think, coming together, I thought this was impressive. And, you know, we've had plenty of chances to criticize Pirlo. I think after a performance like this, We can give him
well, the hardest thing, Gab, in football as a coach, and Pirlo's got the problem, is to get the balance right between the attacking side of the game and the defensive side of the game. And today, by playing with two wingers, he got the attacking side of the game really good. But they were more open in midfield. That's what you get. But I think over the period of time, if he can get the balance right, Juventus will still be a very good side.
Elsewhere, Inter with a 2-1 victory over Sassuolo, no surprise. Martinez and Lukaku getting the goals, meaning Inter now 11 points clear at the top of the table. Gab, that's it. It's done, yeah?
Yeah, I think really this was the game. Sassuolo had they had a bunch of players, out. You will never quite know what you're going to get with a Sassuolo team. Conte knew that. I thought we saw a similar game to the one where we saw against Bologna, with Inter going ahead and then kind of saying, all right, we're not going to try to wow you. We're going to look to hit on the counter, and we're going to defend well. And they did defend very well. And obviously they got the second goal, and they saw it the game. And I think at this stage, it's more about that. Conte coming out afterwards and basically making the point, look, the last time, you know, we won anything was 11 years ago, 2010. Wow. For the last 9 years, the same team has won in Serie A. This year, maybe somebody else will win. And I think that's a big deal. I think that's what matters right now. And I can totally see where he's coming from. I think it was the right thing for Inter to do in these circumstances.
Robbo, your man crush on Conte intensifies.
Well, he's changed his game plan over the last few weeks last couple of months, because they have become a counter-attacking side, but a brilliant counter-attacking side. They've been so good defensively. The back three have played well. The midfield players have defended much better than they were earlier on in the season. The wing-backs aren't quite so high up the field. And when you've got a front two that can counter-attack at will and score goals, that's the way you're going to play. And I think although they've not played well, they've been just that little bit too good for most of the teams they've played so far.
Just a reminder, of course, the action continues this weekend. Three games for you on Saturday, all on ESPN+, including Parma against AC Milan. And then on Sunday, six matches for you. Juventus taking on Genoa. And Fiorentina against Atalanta should be good as well. That game live on ABC. And then on Monday, it's Benevento against Sassuolo. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Interesting stuff from Jurgen Klopp after Real Madrid's 3-1 victory against Liverpool on Tuesday. The Liverpool coach coming out and saying that Valdebebas, which is of course Real Madrid's second stadium, if you like, was a bit weird. That it affected the way in which Liverpool played. Well, let's welcome back, shall we, Craig, Jurgen and Frank. Craig, what do you make of that?
Well, I don't know if it affected the way they played. I think the way Real Madrid played affected the way that Liverpool played. In all fairness, I just don't think he should be mentioning the stadiums, but I can see where he's coming from, because every time I watch Real Madrid at home, I look at it and I think, it doesn't have to look weird. I mean, what's the problem? Can they not afford to turn the lights on at the Bernabeu? I know there's nobody there, but they've decided to play at the training ground. It does look a little bit different compared to being in big stadiums, but that's not why Liverpool lost. It's not why they didn't play well. It's not why they were dominated in the middle of the park. So, I just think with the season that Klopp's had, you know, off the field with all his remarks about everything really, from broadcasters to the scheduling of fixtures, that I think he should have tried to, or should try to stay away from these outside influences which are not really affecting the game, because that's what it is. But it does look a bit weird, Real Madrid playing there, I must admit.
They're refurbishing the Bernabeu. I sent you all the blueprints. Excited, Craig. You didn't answer my email.
They're refurbishing it?
Yeah, they're making it all posh and nice.
Oh, I didn't know that. I don't have any interest, really. I'm sorry.
I sent you all the pictures. I said we could go one day. What about his criticism of the referee, Craig? This obviously valid in the fact that the second goal there was definitely a foul in the lead up to it. But overall, did you feel there was an agenda against Liverpool from the ref?
Oh, no, not at all. And look, there was certainly a nudge on Sadio Mane on his way through. Now, the question would be is, obviously, VAR looked at it. The question would be was what was his proximity to the ball, and did they decipher if he was going to get there or not? And obviously, they didn't. I'd have to go back and look at the tape, which I'm not going to do because I've got a life. So I can't
have a look at those blueprints.
Concrete answer it to you. I don't know the Bernabeu's getting renovated. I don't really care. But their ground still looks weird, and Liverpool were not hard done by, in my opinion, by the referee. They just didn't play well. Sadio Mane had one of his poorer games. Fabinho had one of his poorer games. Alexander-Arnold had another bad night. Alisson didn't do great for the goal. They had an inexperienced centre-half pairing again. That's not easy. So, all in all, it was what I thought, and I said on yesterday's show, it was kind of where we are with Liverpool at the moment, with that amount of quality out the side. Okay, you can whop the backside of Arsenal at the Emirates, but travelling to Madrid to play Real Madrid and think you're just going to be allowed the same freedom, that's not going to happen.
Frank, where do you stand on Klopp's complaints about the officials?
I know, in a way, I agree with Craig. It's kind of an excuse to explain the bad performance of Liverpool, but it was a clear foul for me on Sadio Mane. He pushed him. It's a red card for Lucas Vazquez. It's not a penalty because it's out of the 16-yard box. But for me, at the end of the day, there was a bad decision from the ref. And well, like 30 seconds after, Real Madrid scored the second goal. So I don't like the ref. I mean, and nothing to do with the fact that he's German, but I don't like him. Every time I see him in the middle of the park,
don't worry.
I have issues with him. I have issues with him. But whatever. Going back to the training ground, we saw Karim Benzema complaining about the lights as well in two crosses. So it is a problem also for Real Madrid players, I think. And the fact that they're refurbishing Bernabeu is the explanation why they play in that very strange stadium. But it's true that it doesn't look like a Champions League game when you watch Real Madrid playing at home.
Jürgen, a couple of points. And Frank said Germans shouldn't be allowed to referee at this level.
I mean, the funny part certainly is that Jurgen Klopp had to complain with another German then after the game, and that's part of it. And obviously they go at it each other maybe, and there's emotions going on, you know. And a former coach of mine, Otto Rehhagel, he always told me, Jurgen, the day of the game, before, during, and after the game, don't take it for serious what people tell you, because if you're emotional. You know, I think there are so many comments being made that you would never say the next day. So obviously having a conversation there with the referee for Jurgen Klopp is a normal thing to do. It's he's German too. He tells him what he was happy about and what he was not happy with. And he obviously had a couple of points there to make. The good thing, I think, for Liverpool is to come out of that game is they only lost 3-1. And all the things that went wrong and some players didn't play accordingly to their standards. You know, they still have a huge chance to go through. I mean, they can win at home 2-0 at Anfield, you know, where they have all the energy in the world. You know, even if the fans are not in the stadium, you know, yeah, as Jurgen Klopp said, you know, Real Madrid will feel it. They will feel that they are at Anfield. So that's the good thing about it. The game is not over yet. You know, anything is still possible, even if they had a bad day in Madrid.
Great stuff, guys. Thank you very much, as always. Just a reminder how things stand going into that second leg. No surprise, Real Madrid are favourites, big favourites as well. 4-1 on to advance to the semi-finals. Liverpool, meanwhile, 11-4.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Europa League at the quarterfinal stages is good as well. First legs tomorrow, Granada against Manchester United, Ajax against Roma, Dinamo Zagreb against Villarreal, and it's Arsenal against Slavia Prague. All of them really interesting matches with plenty to keep us talking. We'll, of course, be reflecting on those games on the next edition of the show. We'll be bringing you everything you need to know about those first legs. That's it. Thank you very much to Shaka. Thank you very much to everyone else who has been on. Be sure to stay tuned, though. Extra time, as always, is next. Shaka with me, Robbo and Frank back to answer your tweets. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you, as always, for your tweets. Shaka Hislop with me in the studio. We also welcome Stuart Robson, Frank LaBeouf with us. Frank, I've just seen Kylian Mbappe speaking really good English. I didn't know he was so good at it.
Yes, that guy has so many gifts. You know, he can speak English, can speak also a kind of Spanish, Portuguese with Neymar, and French very well. Wow. And on top of all his talent, you know, that guy is gifted, yeah.
Mbappe did an interview with Hercules Gomez earlier this year, Dan. Just saying.
Well, thanks, Jack. That's really helpful.
I just thought you should know the kind of work that Hercules is doing on our behalf.
What do you mean? He didn't do this interview after the Champions League.
Did I say this interview?
What relevance does that have to this whole conversation?
Because he's part of our ESPN world.
Right.
You're supposed to be aware of
these
things.
I've done many interviews in my time with people.
These
I don't bring that in, do I?
Goodness me. You're just such a...
And that really successful
player.
Interview I had with Pele.
Yeah.
Went well.
He speaks good English.
Is Mbappe the best player in the world? Right, that's where I was going with all this. Is Mbappe the best player in the world right now? Robbo.
Is he the best player in the world right now? He's the most dangerous player in the world, I think, right now, when he's making runs in behind. So, if you're talking about goal scorers, strikers, yes, he's the most dangerous player in the world.
Frank? Stupid question. Is he better than Navas in goal? No, of course not. So he's not the best player in the world because it doesn't mean anything. Stop with those individual nominations because it doesn't mean anything. He's the best striker in the world, maybe, with some others. You know, you have to deal with that. But he's not the best player in the world because he's a very poor left back, he's a very poor goalkeeper, and I guess he's the horrendous centre-half.
How do you know? You haven't seen him play in any of those positions.
Anything.
Frank's in a bad mood because PSG
he's the
won.
Most...
That's what it is.
No,
the
no he's way. The most valuable player or the most entertaining player, but he's not the best player in the world. We're talking about football.
Okay, but let's do it this way,
Come
Frank.
On.
If we had all the players in the world lined up
yeah.
and you're playing a pickup game, who are you choosing first?
Sergio Ramos.
Right, okay, he's injured.
But I'm still choosing Messi.
Sorry? You're choosing Messi?
I'm still choosing Messi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shaka, do you believe the weather conditions contributed to Neuer's error on Mbappe's first goal? How tough is it? How tough does a slick surface make it for goalkeepers?
I do think it contributed. I thought it was weird from Neuer. I thought he tried to stay near to a little too close to his near post, given the rest of the goal. In trying to, you know, anticipate what Mbappe was doing, and then when it comes straight at him, he just didn't adjust well. I do think, though, that yes, the
you played snow before, Shane?
Yeah. Yes, I have.
This is where you tell us a little story about you playing in snow.
I played in snow, Dan.
Oh, shut up, Dominic. Right. Müller didn't notice the big stream of blood running down his neck, but he was also wearing gloves. Is he tough? Or soft, Frank?
Müller?
Yes.
He's a tough guy.
Yeah, but he wears gloves.
I think he's a tough guy. Yeah, but he's sensitive at the same time.
Oh. Oh, he's like the perfect lead in a movie. That's good. Frank, did you ever wear gloves when you played?
I did once, and I broke one, my small finger was completely frozen when I was playing for Strasbourg. It was very cold in Strasbourg. And I touched the back of Yuri Djorkaeff's back. He was playing against me against Monaco. And I think Jürgen played that day. And I completely, you know, broke the bone. Mm. But I didn't feel anything because I wasn't wearing anything. And there was the last time that I wasn't wearing anything, the day after I played with gloves because I couldn't feel my fingers
right.
anymore. So, yeah, it can be useful. And we are sensitive in the extremities.
Yeah, yeah. Robbo, you never wore gloves. If it was up to you, you'd just play naked, wouldn't you?
Absolutely.
Yes.
But I talk about Strasbourg. I went to see Boomsong. I don't know who he was playing for. I was an 18-year-old. And I went to Strasbourg. I didn't realise it was going to be so cold. It was -7 inside the stadium. And I didn't have any gloves.
Oh.
And I was in a terrible state for the rest of the evening, I've got to say.
Oh, goodness. Given Liverpool's recent form, do you think a comeback similar to what they managed against Barcelona a couple of years ago is possible at this point? Robbo.
On the evidence of the game last night, no, because they lacked energy, they were poor defensively, their recovery runs were shocking, they didn't play on the counter-attack, as they can do. But you never know with Liverpool, they might just put in one of those performances. On the evidence of last night, I'm going to have to say no.
Robbo, we talked about this on the show without you, actually. Jurgen Klopp's comments afterwards, that it was a strange place to play such a big game, and he just alluded it to a training game, because obviously it was at Valdebebas, the training ground, as opposed to the stadium. Can you empathise with that?
Not really, because I heard these comments before the game. We were doing the game, and we heard the interview, and this is what he said before the game. It's a really strange place to play football. It's a training ground, all this sort of stuff. So maybe he put that into the minds of the players. But I can sense that at the moment, he can't get through to the players because either they're not taking any notice of him, they're not playing to the game plan. So he's now having to go at everybody else. He was having to go at the fourth official all night last night, and he just looks as though he's lost the plot at the moment.
Speaking of losing the plot, Shaka, who do you think will win the Champions League?
Who do I think is going to win? I'm sick of Manchester City.
Right.
You know, I thought they were far from their best selves against Dortmund, but I'm sticking with City for now.
Robbo?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Manchester City. I still think they're the best side in the tournament. They've got some great players. They're playing well. It was just a one-off against Borussia Dortmund. They played better in the second leg.
Frank?
I'm still going to stick with Bayern Munich. It seems to be very difficult, and I'm very upset with their performance, today. But I think Bayern is the best team. Bayern is the best team, not Manchester City.
But they lost 3-2 today.
Frank's been angry all day.
It's the PSG. Remember he said that Neymar shouldn't start. He had a really good game.
PSG won in Munich.
So it's Marseille wanes.
He's not a happy man at all.
I like when you talk about me, you know, without asking me anything. I love that.
There you go.
You can just tell there's an edge to him tonight, can't you?
Bit prickly, isn't he, Robbo?
Hang on, I'm never prickly. I'm easygoing. You know that, Dan. You know that.
I've seen you at your prickliest, Robbo.
Okay.
Must have been about a few years ago.
How many players do Inter need to challenge for the Champions League, Robbo?
I would say quite a few in terms of the midfield. I think Brozovic is a good player, but I don't think he's athletic enough to really dominate the midfield area. Barella's a good player, but on the other side, you're playing with Christian Eriksen at the moment. I don't think he's quite good enough for Inter. Gagliardini, the wing-backs. Hakimi's great down one side. I'm not sure about you'd use Perisic down the other. I think they've got a good back three, got a good front two. So I would say probably about three players they would need to make themselves a better Champions League team.
Here we go then. Frank, who was the strongest player that you ever played against?
Strongest in which way?
I would say strength.
Like Ronaldo? I don't like your attitude right now, you know? I don't like that. Because it could be Lukaku in a strong way, or it could be Messi. In another
strong way. Did you play against Lukaku or Messi?
You know? No, I never played, but I was just an example. Are you? He's looking for me. He's really. I would say. Thierry Henry was the strongest guy I ever played.
Really? Because you wouldn't think he would be strong.
Because he was strong. He was hard to move. And fast, and even if you are close to him, you're in danger. If you leave him like a yard of space, he's gonna take you on. Difficult to catch those kind of players and to guess those kind of players. That's the thing. You have to anticipate with the players that you play against. But some players, if you cannot guess, how you want to anticipate? You have to bet.
I feel like they're asking like someone who you would try and challenge and kind of bounce off. Mm.
Yeah, but Thierry Henry is one of them. Of course, Alan Shearer was another one.
Yeah, broke your nose four times.
Of course, Alan Shearer was another one. There was Quinn.
Niall Quinn.
Sunderland.
Yeah.
Niall Quinn. Yeah. And Ferguson, Everton. My God. That was hard too.
the handle for this person is Frank Leboeuf, after the Instagram picture, of course. Would you like to see it, Robbo?
No!
Oh, my goodness gracious. What's going on there? Is that upside down?
Robbo, we call that muscles.
Wow.
You've obviously been working hard. I'm very impressed.
Robbo, next time you're on the rowing machine, take a picture like that.
Yeah, don't worry. I will do. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I can match that.
Yeah, I bet you can.
Thank you.
Robert, who was the strongest player you went up against?
Well, he wasn't the biggest, but I would say he was strong in terms of his determination. He was hard to play against, and that was Brian Robson. Not my namesake.
Oh, really?
He was the England captain. He was much harder to play against than many other midfield players, so I would say he was the strongest, although he wasn't a big man. He just had great athleticism. He wanted to get from box to box, and he scored goals. He was a good player.
Sounds like myself, Shaka.
What?
And yourself?
Kevin Nolan.
Really?
Yeah. I remember playing against him when... he was... Where was he? Was it...
Southampton?
Was he playing for Blackburn as well?
Boston. Bolton.
Bolton. At Bolton. I remember him coming to stand next to me for a corner. And, you know, inevitably getting a little tussle, trying to get some space.
Yes.
Could not budge him.
Really?
Could not move him.
Wow.
I played against Niall Quinn and Dr. Ferguson, though they would never stand on the goalie. But just... Kevin Nolan was just... I couldn't budge him at all.
Go on, Frank.
I think I played with him, but I played only 1 year at the end of his career against him when he was in Southampton. But I think Mark Hughes was quite a nightmare for every defender during his career.
Right.
Because his calves, his legs, I mean, the guy was very strong, very, very strong.
Good stuff. I think that's it. Thank you very much. Frank's movie reviews, by the way, Official Secrets, you were saying, Frank, we should all go and watch. Your Honour, you suggested, Robbo.
Official Secrets.
And Perfect Crime. There you are. We bring you a little bit of everything on Extra Time. That's it, then.
Perfect.
Hope Disney have all of them. Oh, darn. Anyway, ESPN, we'll be back tomorrow for more. Be sure to join us.